Everything's a selfie for me. Jai ho Radha Bhuva Kunja Vihare. Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace of Ayat, Chalana Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Jai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Jai, Ananda Gauti Vaishnav Vrind Jai, Namacharya Srila Hoidas Thakur Jai, Purim Sai Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Rabu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Kishnaya Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govinda Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Vrindasami Kijai Yamunamaya Kijai Shrimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premanam Kijai. All glory is his own beauties. All glory is his own beauties. All glory is his own beauties. All glory is Shri Guru and Gauranga Shri Prabhupad Ki Jai. Om Agada Tibidandasha Gadanjana Shlakya Chakshur Medikam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So we are continuing with reading the Nectar Devotion Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, further aspects of transcendental service. And we are talking next about associating with advanced devotees. Okay, we'll read. The importance of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the society of pure devotees was explained by Shonaka Muni during the meeting at Naimisharanya in the presence of Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami confirmed that if someone is fortunate enough to associate with a pure devotee of the Lord, even for a moment, that particular moment is so valuable that even those pious activities which can promote one to the heavenly planets or give liberation from material miseries cannot compare to it. In other words, those who are attached to Srimad Bhagavatam do not care for any kind of benefit derived from elevation to the higher planetary systems or for the liberation which is conceived of by the impersonalist. As such, the association of pure devotees is so transcendentally valuable that no kind of material happiness can compare to it. So, some points here. That, of course, there's many verses that we can quote in this regard, you know, like Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. You're finding?
What, you what page is
it? The page is the same in that book? No. It's further aspects of transcendental service associating with advanced devotees. So, anyway, so there's so many verses in this regard, like Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Koi, Lava Mantra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy, even at instant, like 11th of a second, Lava Mantra, associated with the pure devotee leads. Gives one all perfection. There's the verse in the Bhagavatam, for doing your poet and savior, it's better than bathing, repeated bathings in the Ganges River. Then there's a statement that the pure devotees, they purify even a holy place. Then you have that whole story of Ganga Devi, who Bhagirath was asking to come down to the earth planet, and she said, ain't going there. And she had some reasons. One reason, of course, that she was going to pierce through the earth planet and Lord Shiva was going to catch her, so that solved that problem. And the other reason was all these rascals like ourselves, like myself, were going to bathe in her and just dump off all their garbage into her, their karma. And the answer given by Bhagirath was that pure devotees will bathe in the Ganges and they purify even the holy place. They take away all the bad stuff. And so that's the most purifying thing. Another thing that's interesting is that Srimad Bhagavatam, it's important to understand the whole process of how the Srimad Bhagavatam came to be. Who was the first person who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam? Does anyone know?
Lord Shiva.
What?
Lord Shiva.
Krishna.
Yeah.
Parvati, he
instructed one. No, Krishna was the first one. Because Krishna said, you know, Hami Vasa Me Vagre, Nanyad Yatsada Sadhuram, Paschadham Yadaitas Chad, Yovashaheta, Soshmiaham. That's the first verse, of course. That before the creation there was I, during the creation there was I, and after the creation there was I. And then, of course, you have Lord Shiva Parvati. But actually, Krishna talked to Lord Brahma. We're talking about our Sampradaya right now.
Four verses.
What?
The four verses, four key verses.
Yeah, the four key verses, Chatur Shloki. 2, 9, 33, 34, 35, and 36. And you can study those verses if you like. And then Lord Brahma spoke to?
Narada.
Narada spoke to?
Vyasadeva
taught Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami taught who? Sutta Goswami taught who?
Saunaka.
Sages of Saunaka Rishi. Where were they located?
Lakshmi.
And what were they doing before?
Sacrifice.
How long is the sacrifice going to be?
1,000 years.
And what was the problem with that sacrifice?
The fear of human beings.
Was that with the sacrifice before they heard Srimad Bhagavatam? There's too much smoke. The smoke gets in your eyes. They burn too much incense. And here's another question: who was Sutta Goswami's father?
Ramahashana
Sutta. And how did he die?
Lord
Balram.
And why is he called Sutta?
Sutta.
I didn't ask Yuga.
His description is that he born, his father is high birth.
Yes, right.
High birth and,
His mother is high birth. Sutta is the mother is higher birth than the father.
Yes.
It's called pratilom marriage.
Yes.
And there's anulom, which is, okay, the father is a higher caste than the mother. And interesting, that means that women also have a caste, or, varnas, so to speak. So when people are arranging marriages, they should consider varnas. Otherwise, it can be a disaster. Okay. So, let's continue. And the Hari Bhakti Shudhoya. There's a conversation between Prahlad Maharaj and his father, Aranyakashipu, in which Aranyakashipu addresses Prahlad in this way. My dear son, association is very important. So he's giving good instructions now. It acts just like a crystal stone, which will reflect anything which is put before it. Incidentally, Aranyakashipu understood spiritual philosophy, in case you didn't know, because when his brother was killed by Lord Vishnu, what was his brother's name? Anyone know?
Hiranyaksha.
Keeping everybody awake. then Hiranyakashipu had to do what to utilize his philosophy?
Not his wife.
His wife didn't care about the whole thing. The whole family.
Yeah.
The whole family. So he actually spoke, you're not the body, and all this other nice stuff. So he actually had a lot of intelligence. It wasn't like an ogre. And so he says, it acts like a crystal stone which reflect anything which is put before it. And actually Prabhupada very much stressed this, that whoever you associate, you become like Prabhupada sometimes would say, if you go to a bar, you become a drunkard. Mm. If you go into the stock market, then you become a stockbroker or something like that. Prabhupada said, if you're investing in stocks, to actually associate with people who are investing in stocks, because you'll get into the same mood. Or if you go into a football game, it's like I was here in New Zealand in the departure lounge in Air New Zealand, in the lounge, and they were watching a game. The All Purples. I know it's there. I know it's there. Actually, in America, they'd ask you to change that name because it would be a racist name.
Yes.
Yeah, that wouldn't be allowed. So anyway, so I was watching the game, I was watching the people watching the game. And they're all just like associating with each other and grunting and groaning along with the players. It's like a zoo, basically. So like whoever you associate with, that's what you become like. And that's why we were talking yesterday about sending the children to school. Probably consider the ordinary schools to be slaughterhouses. They probably utilize that particular nomenclature. Slaughterhouse means they're slaughtering their spiritual lives, because especially a child is very vulnerable to association, and we mentioned yesterday social pressure, and anyway, it's very dangerous. Just like you wouldn't send your child or even an adult into the isolation ward in the hospital, you know, let's say measles now, you know.
Yeah.
Just like with Madhava Sangha and his child, they were afraid the child had measles and they wouldn't let anyone in to even see the child other than her. Mm-hmm. But the child doesn't have measles. And so worse than measles is car measles. Karma. I don't know if there's such a word anyway. Because actually there's a statement in the Bhagavad Gita. The reason people are in Maya is called Karnam Guna Sangasha Sadasa Jama Jonishu, by associating with the modes of nature. Oftentimes I've given the example that it's like wet paint. Like sometimes you'll go to someone's house and there'll be a sign, don't touch wet paint. Mm-hmm. And you touch it and your hand turns brown or black or something like that. And so the modes of nature are covering everything in this world that's not utilized for Krishna's service. Everything. Just like, you know, food that's not offered to Krishna or anything. Even a car that's not offered to Krishna. It's not utilized in Krishna's service. I mean, sometimes our members come to the temple and they want to offer their car to Krishna, but they want to use it for themselves. I'd like to offer this to Krishna. Thank you very much for your nice Tesla, you. Said, so, no. Anyway, the car puja? You do that here, is that nice? Yeah. Oh my God.
Is it bona fide to do car puja?
Well, if it makes money, anything's bona fide. I mean, we have all the... You know,
I've never done it.
We've said, selling... I'm not saying... But, you know, I guess money purifies everything. So, just like, you know, we sell colossus, you know. We'll, you know, just to make money in the temple, we'll sell gopi skirts or something. Isn't it? So I guess that the end justifies the means. But I'm joking. But it's you know, it's really like car puja. You know, I've seen them put garlands on cars.
They make the coconut on the wheel.
Yeah.
Lemon on the wheels.
I don't know if they do that. But I see them doing Archie. So anyway, but then the car is not purified. If the person uses it for themselves, it doesn't matter what sort of puja you did before. You can't justify or spiritualize material activities. It's still the modes of nature. So that's why it's very important for us to be careful. And even someone chanting the holy names, if they're not following the practices or principles, then they have the modes of nature in it. You know, Sarvachistiyatapayam. Avaishnava mukho girnam putam harikata. In the same book, the Hari Bhakti Shraya, is the statement. Vaishnava Mukho Girnam Bhutam Harikatam Ritam Shavananaiva Kartavyam Sarpa Chistiyatapayam. That if one hears about Krishna from someone who's not a Vaishnava, then Sarpa Chistiyatapayam. It has poisonous effects. So then that means the modes of nature. So one has to be very careful what they hear, what they see. So I'm talking to someone. Oh, yeah, I was talking to someone the other day, a devotee, a nice devotee, and he used to play video games. He's a nice devotee in Sydney, and I was I wanted to find out the mentality. Now he's chanting; he doesn't play video games anymore. I said, "When you play a video game, how do you feel afterwards? You know, when you finish with a video game, because it's really like association with the modes of passion and ignorance, like kill, everything." And he said, "I feel like this world is unreal." But then he also feels that Krishna consciousness is unreal too.
Oh.
Because he goes in an illusion within an illusion.
With illusion.
Right. Scientists call that the simulation hypothesis. Anyway, I won't describe what that is. It's above your pay level. So you know, he puts himself further into an illusion. Or when one drinks, one's in the mode of ignorance. So, you know, it takes a while. You just get out of it. Then you rise to this level of illusion, you know, this gross body illusion. Mm. And then you start chanting again. Hopefully you remember you're a devotee of Krishna. You actually forget things when you do things like that. Anyway, All right, so another example in this connection is that if a man is potent and a woman is not diseased, then by conjugation, there will be conception. In this way, the same way, if the recipient of spiritual knowledge and the deliverer of spiritual knowledge are sincere and bona fide, there will be good results. So that's associating with advanced devotees. Actually, this is so important. And also, an advanced devotee gives us the bhakti lata bij. You know, brahmanda brahmate konno bhagavan jiv guru krishna prasadi bhai bhakti lata bij. That we're wandering in this material universe, and I always use the example of how I got the bhakti lata bij just by listening to the radio and Prabhupada was chanting. And I just like, wow. Then I lost interest in all my material things, especially my university. Whew, that was a disaster. Anyway. So sometimes, you know, devotees, people come to Krishna consciousness and they're studying to be a doctor or nurse or something like that. And they just say, I just want to be a devotee, I want to continue. I just have to pressure them to continue their education. Because basically, people do lose their interest. And that's quite dangerous because you've got to serve Krishna in this world with some particular talents. You know, you can't. Otherwise, you'll end up just cleaning houses later on. So, all right. So people should become doctors. Right? Doctors, lawyers, whatever. Next one is chanting the holy name of the Lord. The importance of chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. It's very strongly stressed in the second canto, first chapter of verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam in the following way. Shukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Pariksit, my dear king, if one is spontaneously attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is to be understood that he has attained the highest perfectional stage. It is specifically mentioned that the Karmis, who are aspiring after the fruit of results of their activities, the salvationists, who are aspiring to become one with the Supreme Person, and the yogis, who are aspiring after mystic perfections, can achieve the results of all perfectional stages simply by chanting the Maha Mantra. Shukadev uses, actually there's this verse, Akama Savrakamo, Mokshakamadara, the Tibrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. What that means is that we should encourage people, not disturb their material attachments, but encourage them in devotion. Krishna says this in the Gita. So if someone says, you know, I really want to make a lot of money, okay, chant Hare Krishna. Or I really, not, you don't run into many yogis anymore. I was just talking to someone yesterday, and they were asking me questions about, anyway, I know who it is, Krishna, anyway, KB Maharaj. And I was, he's asking me a question, what do you do? Run into the yogis. What are the yogis like? He says, oh, they generally eat meat, and they have goat yoga now. I couldn't believe it. Because, yeah, the word yoga means to connect. To connect you with Krishna. It's like, you know, that's Krishna consciousness. Like religion. Religion. To reconnect. Yoga. Yukta. Yeah, it's from the yukta. So, They don't really understand what yoga is other than some exercises. So there's beer yoga, wine yoga, and there's hot yoga. That's Bikram yoga. And there's goat yoga now. This, I haven't heard about that one before. I mean, this is completely ridiculous. But anyway, so, generally the yogis, I mean, if it's a real yogi, is either, you know, bhakti yogi, or someone who's aspiring after mystic perfections. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it actually describes how to get siddhis, yoga siddhis. And Krishna is always connected with it. So you can explain to these, well, your yogis are bogies. But, Rogi yogi.
Rogi.
Rogi. You know, rogi means sick. But anyway, so you can explain to these yogis that they're actually, not your yogis, but You can explain to that if they want mystic powers, turn them on to Srimad Bhagavatam, the explanations of Srimad Bhagavatam, and chant the holy names, because Krishna is the source of all mystic powers. He's Yogeshwara. And so, anyway, so the point is, whatever you want, go to Krishna. And then you get purified, like Dhruva. He was purified. Now, he wanted something completely mundane. He wanted a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. And then, after attaining that, he said, I'm looking for some pieces of broken glass, and I found a wonderful gem. So, in other words, don't discourage me. Don't go around smashing people. Say, someone says, well, I really want a big house. I want this. And don't go, that's Maya. You're going to lose people.
Yeah.
Just say, that's all right. No problem. Chant Hare Krishna. Krishna will fulfill all your desires. And Krishna may even take away all the desires, and that way they'll be fulfilled. In fact, that's the only way to fulfill desires, is to get rid of them. And the only way to get rid of them is to desire Krishna. It is specifically mentioned that the karmis were aspiring at the fruit results of their activities. We read that, you know. By chanting the Maha Mantra. Sukadeva Goswami uses the word nirnitam, which means it has already been decided. He was a liberated soul and therefore could not accept anything which was not conclusive. So Sukadeva Goswami especially stresses that it has already been concluded that one who has come to the stage of chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra with determination and steadiness must be considered to have already passed the trials of fruitive activities, mental speculation, and mystic yoga. Of course, there's that other verse. Aho bhattasva pachatoga vriyanyadvi vagre vartate namatu vyamta pushtapushtahuva shashna arya ramanucha nama grananti yate. Anyone know that verse? No. See? You don't know that verse. So, aho, how amazing it is. That someone who is chanting the holy names, Swapacha, may come from a family of dog eaters. Yaji Vagri Vartate Namatupyam. Then it's understood, even though he's come from a low class family, that he's become an Aryan, you know, high class person, and he's performed all the different austerities and penances. Simply by chanting the Lord's holy names. In other words, you don't have to go through the preliminary activities that are required in spiritual life. The same thing is confirmed in the Adi Purana by Krishna. While addressing Arjuna, he says, anyone who is engaged in chanting my transcendental name must be considered to be always associating with me. And I may tell you frankly that for such a devotee, I become easily purchased. Wow. Anyone who's engaged in chanting my transcendental name must be considered to be always associating with me. Of course, there's one word here we have to understand. Transcendental name. That's the Shuddha. No. Not as one chanting on the clearing platform or the offensive platform, but the Shuddha. No. And the chant the Shuddha Nam, you have to be taken a shelter of initiate by a pure devotee. In the Padma Purana, also it is stated, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is present only on the lips of a person who has for many births worshipped Vasudev. Again, here we're talking about Shuddha Nam, the pure name. And by Prabhupada's mercy, because we've gotten association with Prabhupada, we've gotten the Shuddha Nam. But if one doesn't hear the name from Prabhupada, gets it from one of these goat yogis, then it's not the same thing. It's not understood that every goat yogi who chants Hare Krishna has for many births been worshipping Vasudev. It further said in the Padma Purana, there is no difference between the holy name and the Lord of the Lord and then the Lord himself. As such, the holy name is as perfect as the Lord, that's that verse, Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. You know the verse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As such, the holy name is as perfect as the Lord himself in fullness, purity, and eternity. The holy name is not a material sound vibration, nor has it any material contamination. The holy name cannot therefore be chanted offenselessly by one who has failed to purify his senses. In other words, the materialistic senses cannot properly chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but by adopting this chanting process, one is given a chance to actually purify himself so that he may very soon chant offenselessly. So that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. The holy name is not simply the movement of the lips and the tongue. It has to descend. Golokera Premadana Hurinam Sankirtana. So it has to descend from Goloka Vrindavan through a pure devotee, and then one has to become a good recipient or transmitter of the holy name by purifying his senses. What does it mean to purify the senses? Sarvapati vinir muktam tatpatatrena niyamanam rishikena rishikena sevanapattu uchite. That means to understand, to give up all designations. So Nice Prabhupada would say we have designated senses. It means the senses are being filtered, the senses filtered by our material conceptions, by the modes of nature. And so when we see everything as connected to Krishna, we see Premanjana Churita Bhakti Lochanena Sandakshadaiva Radiyeshu Vilokiyanti Yang Shandashundarama Chinchaguna Sarupam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Shami. Our eyes are tinged with the salve of love. Like, in other words, what does that mean? I love this tissue. You know, what it means is that you see everything meant to be used for Krishna. Like, for example, sorry if I offend anyone. So just like here, some people have this culture, they're pretty bold. Before the marriage, the women go shopping for the clothes, right? And they don't see everything as being used for Krishna. They see everything as being used for my profit, adoration, distinction. They go in front of the mirror. You know, you go shopping, you try and close the eyes, and then it's mirror on the wall. Who's the biggest Maya Devi of them all? So that's not Premanjana Charita Bhakavila and Chena. You know, that's Maya, whatever. And so, but a devotee, let's say, you know, if I walk into a flower shop, I'll think, oh, what would be nice to offer these flowers to Krishna. But if someone is in love with their wife or whatever, they'll think, how nice would be to offer them. Of course, you should still get some flowers for your wife. I remember there was one householder once. His wife said, you never give me any flowers. And the man said, flowers are only for Krishna, not for someone with a mundane body. So, it's not that. I mean, Prabhupada said, you have to act like you're attached. You don't want to disturb people's minds. Jewelry is only for Krishna. Not for some stool body. You know? So you really have to be practical too. But still, you know, pure devotee, when he sees something, he thinks, can I use it for Krishna? Like Prabhupada said, you can have a picture of him pulling money in. Can I use it for Krishna? Because there was a picture of a Mayavadi pushing money away. So that's how pure devotee thinks. How can I use that? How can I use that for Krishna? And that way, you know, that's detachment. That's real detachment. Anyway, that's very, very, very nice. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that everyone chant the Hare Krishna mantra, cleanses the dust from the heart. If the dust of the heart is cleansed away, then one can actually understand the importance of the holy name. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust of their hearts and who want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. One should therefore be encouraged to develop his service attitude towards the Lord, because this will help him to chant without any offense. And so, Under the guidance of a spiritual master, the disciple is trained to render service and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. As soon as one develops his spontaneous service attitude, he can immediately understand the transcendental nature of the holy names of the Maha Mantra. And the final one is living in Mathura. In the Padma Purana, there's a statement about the importance of living in a holy place like Mathura or Dwarka. It is stated there, to travel to different places of pilgrimage means to attain emancipation from material bondage. This emancipation, however, is not the highest perfectional stage. After attaining this liberated stage, one has to become engaged in devotional service to the Lord. After attainment of the Brahma Bhuta liberation stage, one can further advance to engagement in devotional service. So this attainment of transcendental loving service to the Lord is the goal of life, and it can be achieved very easily for one who lives in Mathura Mandala, even for a few seconds. Wow. Mathura Mandala actually includes all of Vrindavan, the whole Braj. Braj Mandala. It's not just you go to the city of Mathura and just like see all the hellish traffic and you just sit there, you know, for a few days. But, you know, Mathura is transcendental too, but at the same time, Mathura Mandala does mean the whole of Braj. It is for... Okay. It is further said, who is that person who will not agree to worship the land of Mathura? Mathura can deliver all the desires and ambitions of the fruit of workers and the salvationists who desire to become one with the Supreme Brahman. Certainly, Mathura will deliver the desires of the devotees who simply aspire to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Vedic literature, it is also stated how wonderful it is that simply by residing in Mathura, even for one day, one can achieve a transcendental loving attitude toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The land of Mathura must be more glorious than Vaikuntha Dham, the kingdom of God. So, any questions before we go on to the next chapter? Any questions? Comments? No?
So, Maharaj, talking about the material modes of nature.
Yeah.
Like, everything gets so contaminated.
Everything is covered by the modes of nature. Yeah.
So, when we are chanting,
yeah,
like, to be attentive in our chanting,
mm-hmm,
how do we actually get to that stage whereby we get that taste that can minimize this
attraction to the modes of nature?
Yeah.
Well, the solution is serving the Vaishnavas, and actually serving every living entity by preaching Krishna consciousness, sharing Krishna consciousness with others. You know, I experienced when I used to go and travel in Sankirtan when I was a devotee many years ago. And before I became immersed in material energy. Anyway, so when I would go on travel in Sankirtan, we'd be distributing books for like 8 or 10 hours a day. And when we got back after the evening was over, you know, because we got back late, would listen to a tape of Prabhupada, and it was so clear. It was like someone sort of like cleared, as Huxley said, the doors of perception. You ever heard of it? No? Well, you may have read Huxley's works. You know. So it's like someone like cleared your glasses or cleared your mind. The mind was so clear. And you could hear in Prabhupada's voice the symptoms of ecstasy and understand things better than you've ever understood before, simply because all day long you were engaged in sharing Krishna consciousness with others. And that's my experience, that if you share Krishna consciousness, and of course Krishna does say in the Gita that no one is more dear to that person, to Krishna, than that person who does that. If you share Krishna consciousness, there's a nectar, ecstasy, and a purification that's unlike any other process of Krishna, process of purification. Because that's Sankirtan.
Mm.
That's the Yuga Dharma. you know, chanting by yourself is good, we do it, but it's not Sankirtan. Sometimes you can be considered Sankirtan, because the word Sankirtan can mean complete or absorbed chanting. But Krishna especially appreciates it when we share with others, and then we get special, you know, you get special nectar and special mercy. And then one's no longer attracted. I remember, I mean, it was, life was so austere, living in a van. You know, nowadays devotees aren't that austere anymore. We actually lived in a van and took baths outside in the middle of the winter, where there was snow and ice. You know, here it's not so bad. Here it's, he had a little rain, and everybody starts crying with umbrellas and everything like that. We're walking this morning, and everybody's thinking, "Oh my God, he's going to die out there." But doctor had his kit with, you know, to see if I was going to die. You know, want to give me an injection before I went out. So, but we used to go traveling Sankirtan. Sleep in the van, walk, you know, with a jug of water, take a bath, and that was our, and then go out the whole day. And actually the mind wasn't attracted to anything. Anything. It was just really amazing. It was just Krishna. All day long, chanting Hare Krishna, giving people Krishna. It was just intense. Devotees should experience that. You have this monthly Sankirtan festival here?
Yes.
Still going on? When was the last time it went on?
Before Janmasthami.
Before Janmasthami. But didn't it? Actually, Ratna Leka wrote me a letter, right? She said, "Wow, I've never experienced anything like this. It was better than being married to Krishna Chan." She didn't say that, I know. But she said something like, you know, "Thank you very much." You know, it was just, wow. It's like an eye-opener, you know, cleansing the heart. And that's what Lord Chaitanya says, you know, Cheto Dharpana Marsham, Baba Mahadvagni Nirvapanam. It cleanses the Cheto, the heart. It's a bath, you know, for the heart. And so I'm sure you experienced that. You all, when you went on that monthly Sankirtan festival. And it's hard in the beginning, you know, you're knocking on the door or what, or approaching someone, you know, what are they going to say? And sometimes they do slam the door in your face. Or,
some days are good, some days are bad.
Yeah, but at least you're going out, the purification is always good. And then, you know, "Get out of here, you know, what are you, Hare Krishna? Get a job." Remember the old, isn't it?
Yeah.
They said that to you here too, right?
Not to me, but we have heard that.
Yeah. Get a job. Yeah, now it'll be easy. I just say, "I'm retired, you know, 7 years ago." I'm an adult, you know.
You know? My job is to make your life miserable.
Yeah. My job is to harass you. So, but there's a special nectar. That's really how you get detached. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Yanam Chayada Hoitukam. And that statement is it's Bhagavata. You know the verse? One who renders Vasudevi Bhagavati unto Bhagavan. It's unto that. Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, who actually engages in preaching and does Bhakti Yoga. Janayati asu vairagyam. Then automatically he gets detachment. It's causeless. And jnanam cha yada hoitukam. Get knowledge, but then the last word is a hoitukam. You know what a hoitukam means? Without cause.
Without,
all of a sudden the person's detached. You know what happened? Causes mercy. Well, causes detachment. Basically, it's causes detachment and knowledge. That's a different verse. Yes, by Bhum Sam. That's a different verse. So, it means that one performs bhakti yoga, automatically this detachment comes. Because, you know, it's a higher taste, the same thing. And then you're no longer interested in the modes of nature. You become neutral, which is called nirupeksha. Mm-hmm. Nirupeksha means neutral, not that you're attracted or repulsed. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're repulsed, a devotee will say something, ooh, mm-hmm. that car, that Tesla. Notice how I use always that car. So, but I'm just neutral. That's all. And of course, you all know that funny thing. Like Prabhupada was walking on the beach one time with the devotees, and they saw a big car. And Prabhupada said, "In the future, we'll have many big cars like this." And the devotees went, "Jai, Prabhupada." And then we saw some big buildings, and then Prabhupada said, "We'll have so many big buildings in our Krishna consciousness." And everyone went, "Jai, Prabhupada." And then, you know, the story, then they saw a big dog, and Prabhupada said, "We'll have so many big dogs like this in our movement." And they all went, "Jai, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "You're foolish, whatever I say." You know, you've heard me tell that story before, but you know, but we do want so many big things. Prabhupada wanted this temple of the Vedic planet. So we were reading yesterday that Prabhupada wanted it, but he didn't want the devotees to over-endeavor in doing it. Prabhupada, you know, at a certain point said, you know, if it's too much, then just reduce. Remember, we were reading that yesterday. So you have to be careful about the principle, you know, achahara prayasas, jat prayasas. That means over-endeavor. Over-endeavoring for things. Because you don't, because here, actually we're reading today, one should chant and do service. Not that one should just do service and not chant, or just chant and not do service. So it's a balance in life. Service helps you develop a taste for chanting, especially service to Vaishnavas or to any living entity. You have to be compassionate to living entities. All right, so any other questions before we... Do we have time? No, we don't have time because we have a full schedule. Okay, so today, of course, is half-day fast. And if you can't do a half-day fast, you just eat something raw in the morning, just like fruit or something like that. Fruit nuts. You shouldn't eat anything cooked. It's also Kadashi. So it's a half-day fast because tomorrow's Vamana Day's appearance day, and you're not supposed to fast on the day of after Kadashi.
Yes.
So that's why you do the fasting on Kadashi. Mm. So it's a half-day fast, and anyway, you can eat fruit, you know, some nuts or something in the morning, but nothing more more heavy than that, if you can. And, you know, I do because my energy, my health, I can't fast completely. It affects the body. And anyway, when you're 70, you got an excuse. Just wait. And if you can fast half a day, it's nice. And not eating anything half a day, it's not going to kill you.
So there's no fasting tomorrow?
There's no fasting tomorrow. No, no. You never fast the day after Kadashi.
Okay.
It's against the law. That's not law. No, there's no fasting. That's why it says fasting for Vamana Day's appearance, which is tomorrow, and also Jiva Goswami's appearance. We generally don't fast for Jiva Goswami's appearance, but it's combined with Vamana Day's appearance. And so the fasting is done for a half day on the Kadashi. And, you know, technically to follow a Kadashi properly would be to fast completely, some water, food, stay up all night. But not go to work either. Stay up all night and chant and read the whole night. I had a friend who stayed up all night, and the only way he could stay up was investing in the stock market. That's not a Kadashi.
No.
So, you know, there are more strict ways of doing things. It's that, you know, one can fast completely on different days. One can take, what's it called, anukalp?
Mm-hmm.
Anukalp, that means, you know, some simple thing like that. You know, just like uncooked food or something like that. So that's all right for if you can't. I mean, the injunction is there in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. But if you can, you can. You know, why not? You're all young. Right? Bhakti Vinod Thakur is young, you know.
60s old age.
Oh my God. Then I'm over the hill, you know. Alright. Thanks for reminding me. And depressing me.
Guru Maharaj, yeah. The day after Ekadashi, there's the specific timings to break the fast.
Yeah, yeah, that's called the Ekadashi Puran.
Yeah. So if by chance we are not able to, we don't have to fast that day.
If you have a chance you don't, you go to hell. No, if you can't do it, for some reason you can't. Why couldn't you break the fast at that time?
Because usually that time I'm teaching, so...
That's fine. You have one little grain of rice and you pop it in your mouth.
Yeah.
You don't have to... Breaking a fast doesn't mean you get a whole giant plate. A whole giant plate of pakoras and just stuff
like
that.
My hands are like, you know, I've touched them.
That's fine. You take one little piece of oats or a little grain of rice. It doesn't even have to be cooked. Just pop it. Nobody will notice it.
Okay.
Isn't it? Yes. Try to do it. I mean, if you can, for one reason or other. That's, you know, Prabhupada never taught us about the Ekadasi Puran. You know, and Prabhupada had a different city. He said, if it's Ekadasi in Mayapur, it's Ekadasi everywhere in the world.
Mm.
So we didn't have all the sophisticated, like, calendar stuff. You know, breaking between 6:05 and 6:06. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like a 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Where's my plate?
I mean, Prabhupada, I don't know if Prabhupada wanted all the sophisticated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Makes life very complicated. And then you go from one country to another, different days of Kadasi, and you can't figure out what you're supposed to do. So... Prabhupada did say, well, it's Ekadasi in Mayapur, it's Ekadasi everywhere.
Mm.
And then now you have this complication, it's Janmashtami here, for the people from India, I think it's Janmashtami another day, you heard of that?
Yeah.
And everyone says, you, Hare Krishna devotee, you don't know anything. You know,
yeah.
So, but,
even on Diwali.
Yeah, like, Diwali.
Everyone else is on Sunday, and the school says it's Monday.
So,
where everyone celebrates Govardhan on Monday, we celebrate on Tuesday.
So it makes life very complicated. And anyway, I mean, it's a GBC resolution, so I follow it, but I probably really wasn't into all the sophisticated stuff. But as far as breaking the Kadashi, just, you know, I just have a little, that's what I do, I just put in my pocket, you know, if I know I'm going to be out, just one little grain. Nobody notices it, just, and you've broken it. How's that sound? Yeah, because generally people think that means eating a meal. Isn't that true? I mean. Okay, on that happy note, thank you all for joining us online. We got a lot of people watching. Wow, look at all those Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. We are in New Zealand enjoying the beautiful weather.